Yes, you are now listening to the sounds of Sports Reports is Ordered. And those sounds are brought to you by the one and only, the world-renowned, born in Texas, raised in VA, representing everything New Jabrews, to the point that he is accusing the state of Kentucky of cultural appropriation because the state of New Jersey just happens to have more racehorses than Kentucky. Around 27,000, to be exact. And then you got me, your unorthodox statistician. I believe in Joe Henry. Going left so much you thought I was Southpaw. I go by the name of 2-5. And tonight, we're going to break down that ass whooping that the Kansas City Chiefs just received the other night. Sorry, Travis Kelce. I was booing Taylor too. And then we're going to talk around the association because one LeBron James is upset that Luka is getting the things that he feels that he does. But we'll get into that. But Mr. Logical, you said something to me that really chapped my hide. And before I get to that, I need everybody to like, review, subscribe, share, rate, do all those free things. And while you at it, do the good things. But Mr. Logical, you said something earlier. You said, oh, I was so surprised by how dominant Philadelphia was the other day. And I said, surprised by what?
Sound like Noah Lyles.
World champions of what?
What? I'm gonna stick to that. I'm gonna stick to the surprise factor of it. I was thoroughly surprised. I watched the game. And when I was seeing these guards getting pushed into Mahomes' lap every play, and there's one play I've seen on replay, because I always fancy myself as a part-time freelance football coach. Like, I got all these plays in my mind that if I was a coach, I'd implement.
Oh, yeah.
One thing I was thinking about, and I think it might work, is that you blitz two outside linebackers, right, and the defensive end, and on each end, the right tackle and the left tackle, you got two defenders taking on one blocker each shoulder, like just deliberately, simultaneously attacking the blocker's shoulder. So, like, each person hits the tackle on each side. One of them is going to fall. If you get two guys hitting one tackle, one side, other side, pocket collapses in on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Hopefully one of the outside guys is still standing up. So this is play where Kansas City tried to run like this little counter with Pacheco where they faked it to Juju. Mahomes spun around and they pulled the guard. And when you pull the guard, it's the same concept of me as like bringing that extra speed and intensity to the two tackles. Like, boom, I'm bringing a guard over at 330, 340 pounds. He's going to run downhill on this out on this backer with the chip from the tight end. Mm-hmm. Well, the defensive tackle beat the left guard, and then the right guard that was pulling, Nolan Smith just stood him up. And then Pacheco was wrapped up. I'm like, that was supposed to be a good play. And I think I've seen that replay, like different, you know, formats. Like, you know, people send all these clips out. Like, that clip was indicative of the entire game. Is that that's a good play call. A good counter play, pulling a guard. The tight end came off clean. Everybody was lined up to make a play. And every single person that was supposed to make a block tried. It wasn't like they missed the blocks. It just they all got beat. And it looked like Pacheco got the ball and got bear hugged immediately. And it was like, when I started seeing that, I was like, this, it was, you want to believe because they have time. But if you're looking at a boxing match and you have a boxer that they are a jab, move, three punch combo boxer, like that's how they fight. They jab, they move, jab, move, jab, move, three punch combo, jab, move. And like they're doing that for four or five rounds, and the other guy's getting frustrated. It's like, yeah, maybe this guy could land a haymaker, but the other guy's in his groove doing what he likes to do. Philly was in their groove doing what they like to do. deep shots in the man-to-man coverage. Like I said, that was going to happen. Kansas City, if they sell out to stop Saquon, it's going to be man-to-man, and poor Watson was getting beat out there like he was looking for Sherlock Holmes. I was like, he got beat by Jahan Dotson. He was beat by Devontae Smith. Yes. Jalen Hurts made great throws, but this guy was getting beaten at that man-to-man coverage. And the blitzes, they were blitzing, like they were blitzing Josh Allen. It's like Josh Allen wants to stand in the pocket and throw deep. Jalen was like, all right, I'm out.
Well, you know,
like they're literally doing everything they want to do. It's like, nothing you can do about it.
Well, you know, just like Joe Hendry, I said Cooper DeJean's name and he appeared. And, you know, it's funny because Josh Sweat took over this game from the start. Jordan Davis got a sack. And matter of fact, Philadelphia got 6 sacks, which is second most in Super Bowl history.
They had 40 all year.
And they didn't.
Jordan Davis has 4 in his career.
That was the worst part about it. They weren't disguising anything. They weren't bringing blitzes. They weren't trying to get into Mahomes' head. They just literally lined up and said, we want to get there, and we're going to get there. And that was one of the things I was telling somebody during the game the other day that I was talking to, is that Mahomes is great at improvision and freelancing, but he can't improvise or freelance if you dictate where he goes.
Yeah, so, it's like they were marching. It's like they were lined up, hut 2, 3, 4, because when he tried to get outside, a couple of times he did get outside, a couple of good throws off, but the gene pick was him rolling out. But for the most part, they maintained lane integrity, and they were just pushing the guards into his lap. Mm-hmm. And then that allowed them to play 7-on-5 on the back end because they were getting so much pressure. They were leaving the running back in the chip. But by the time, you know, the running back would chip and, like, slip out, if Mahomes could get out of the pocket and get the check down, because he couldn't get it over the middle because they were crashing down on him.
Right.
But like P. Ryan or Pacheco, whoever was like kind of like leaking out to the flat, he couldn't get there because he couldn't get around because of defensive end and whatever, you know, defensive tackle on that side, they were in lockstep. So there's nothing he could do. So basically, as he's looking deep, it was 7-on-4 with one guy leaking out underneath that had a linebacker right there too.
So
they had the whole field covered.
So you know how you like to tell stories and do analogies?
I'm pretty good at it, yeah.
Checks me out. Thing. Check me out. The year was 2014. The year before, it was a national championship in the last BCS national title game. Jameis Winston in back of the end zone. I'm drawing the blank actually right now. My guy from the Carolina Panthers, I can't think of his name right now. Calvin Benjamin. So that happened, right? So the next season, 2014, came. Jameis was coming off the Heisman win, the national title, and it was up. Florida State's coming to kick ass, right? But there was a game against Louisville early in the season where they were down 21, and they had to come back and win. And there were a few other games where they had to make these heroic comebacks. They got to the playoff, first ever college football playoff.
Correct.
And Marcus Mariota was waiting for them. And the thing that plays in my head is that fumble Jameis had.
Yeah.
59-20. So I say all of that to say, we've been watching Kansas City all year play with their 9 lives, escaping everything by the skin of their teeth. So it was only right that when they played a team that was better than them, or that just at the very least matched up well with them, the doors were going to come apart.
And yeah, we broke down position groups, and you were like, and I was like, defense. You like Kansas City. I'm like, defensive line. You like Philly. Like defensive backfield, you said Philly. I was like, all right, front 7, like, Philly. I was like, okay, special teams, Kansas City. And it was like, so, but even with that, I still thought that there were, I just felt like if the play was there to be made, Mahomes is going to make a few of them. Just very similar to the Super Bowl he had last year against Kansas, against San Francisco. Granted, when Greenlaw went out, it kind of opened up an option where basically San Francisco couldn't cover the middle of the field because they Greenlaw was, you know, Greenlaw and Warner were, you know, in sync all year long. And then you bring in the backup and it's like, all right, he was kind of getting out of position, even a foot out of position for Mahomes, you can get beat. And he was taking advantage of that. Philly, everybody seemed to like, they were like on the string, like that. I don't know if you ever seen those basketball coaches use it. And they put like a harness around the waist of all five of the players and they teach them zone defense. Mm-hmm. And they move in unison across the court. It felt like the Philly back end was operating like that because I can't even recall a pass where, short of DeAndre Hopkins when he was kind of wide open and tripped, even the one pass to like Hollywood Brown was kind of like in the flat when he was like dragging across. There was a defender there. The Kelce one that was behind him, there was two defenders there. It's like it just felt like every pass was that wasn't the first read. Right. And I don't have that much space to fit the ball in. Whereas mm-hmm. Jalen was like, cool, y'all gonna leave Dallas Goedert open? Boom. Drag route, out route. Oh, y'all gonna go man to man on AJ Brown? Okay.
I hate victim brain because you know when they called that offensive pass interference, you already know where my mind was going.
When they called it, I checked my phone.
It was, I knew it was the right call, though. So let me preface it with that. I think it was the right call, but I think it was one of those calls that you don't like. You know how people talk about, you don't call that foul right there. That's how I felt about it. It was the right call. Like textbook. But I had also felt call, that if it was the other way around, it wouldn't have been called. That was the victim part of it.
If he was really there to defend the ball, mm-hmm. then you call it. I think AJ had him beat. And it just was, I think, instinctively, all the wide receivers get a little push off. Mm-hmm. They all do. Create a little bit more space. I don't even think he needed it because McDuffie was scrambling off right. the first tap. The first one, most wide receivers get away with that. Like, well, Mike Irvin used to do with his elbow. Michael Irvin used to hold you off, hit you with the elbow, get his mm-hmm. arms up. Tim Brown was another good wide receiver doing that. Guys in this league, like Tyreek Hill doesn't really have that. He just kind of gives you that wiggle. But right. some guys, like the bigger guys, they give you like a little push. DK does it a lot too. And I think he's, you know what, let me just go ahead and make sure he's back. But off the first touch, he was good. The second one, when the helmet moved, that's when the flag came. But I was like, yo, he wasn't going to defend that anyway. He was already stumbling. Like that was a completed mm-hmm. pass in my book.
Yeah. So.
But I was waiting on the phone to blow up.
Could I ask you a question at the risk of upsetting you?
That's not going to upset me.
It'll upset you. So let's hear it. So you know, Tom Brady's the GOAT.
Correct.
You know, we've had these conversations. A lot of people have elevated Patrick Mahomes to a certain level. We talked Correct. About Joe Montana the other day. Why does Patrick Mahomes play like shit in these Super Bowls? Like, if you go back and look at this, you know, there are a lot of these Super Bowls, even in the wins, even last year, he fucked off half the game. And then he came through the door late because the defense kept him alive. And, you know, and the reason that I bring that up is because one of the conversations around Tom Brady was, oh, yeah, like he's just a game manager. The defense held him down, and then he came through and Adam Vinatieri kicked a field goal. Why we don't criticize Patrick Mahomes in that way?
I think people do. Like, I remember hearing Rob Parker mention.
Oh, he don't count.
Yeah, but like this was after last year when Mahomes had won his third ring and he only mentioned his Super Bowl stats. I'm like, Rob, he won three of those games and was Super Bowl MVP for all three. So I get that his stats aren't great. Manning's stats weren't great in the one against the Bears. Eli had favorable stats. Even Tom Brady's stats in the St. Louis versus New England game weren't great. I think what it is that I think his talent masked a lot of holes that a team may have and deficiencies they have. Like the last few years, they haven't had a dynamic wide receiver. If they had a guy of T. Higgins level, you know, people might not regard T. Higgins as like a top 12 wide receiver in the league. But if you think about what he's able to do for Cincinnati, getting open, making big plays, big catches, you know, guaranteeing a double team at least a portion of the game. Since Tyreek left, there's not a lot of guys that can I'll get the lead in a second. But what I'm saying is that I think he covers up some of the holes, very similar to how Tom Brady did in his first few Super Bowl runs. They didn't have a dynamic wide receiver, but he couldn't afford to make a mistake. Like that last drive, the final drive when everyone was like, yo, take a knee, and Belichick was like, yo, fuck, we going for this win, getting field goal range. Tom Brady had 150 yards passing in that game. To Bucky Jones and the defensive backs really were holding the bound. I think Mahomes has probably elevated a couple of teams to championship wins. I'm not saying he's done it by himself, but he has done a couple of things where MVS was the guy catching, like, your touchdown to get the lead in the Super Bowl.
Oh, Mecole Hardman last year was, you know,
Mecole Hardman caught the game winner. It's like, so some of these guys are making plays off of Patrick Effort. But in that same sense, you can do what you could do. And when it's not there, it's not there. Like, it's not going to be there all the time. And I think if people were to criticize his five Super Bowl appearances, you got to look at the totality of his career. He's gotten to 7 AFC championship games. He's won 5 of them. He's only been a starter for 7 years. We are begging for, like, as fans are begging for certain guys to make consecutive Super Bowls or make it to championship games.
Lamar.
We're begging teams, like, please make it to championship game. You know, so it's like he made it to 7. He has 3 rings. And even in those 3 games, yeah, he's played terrible. Or less than his stardom.
Terrible at the beginning. For his standard. We'll put it
for
like that.
For his standard. But
it's almost like the LeBron criticism, right? Like where, you know, like he might have 30 points, missed his last 4 shots, and people like, he choked. You know what I'm saying? Except for Mahomes is on the front side. But you got something.
I don't know how he's stat padding, considering he has 3 rings, and in those 3 games, they needed all those points. Yeah, he probably did not want to go out of that game to have Carson Wentz finish that game. The last thing you want to do is play as poorly as you did and end your season on. You got taken out in the beginning of the fourth quarter because the game was over. It's like, now there's no way I'm a soldier through this entire season and have Carson Wentz go out there throwing picks to his former teams. Like,
and shout,
we're going to lose this game. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to die on my shield. So you got to give him that.
And shout out to, you know, Xavier Worthy. I know it was garbage time and all that, but Super Bowl record for a rookie, you know, 8 catches, 157 yards. So shout out to him, you know. But next question, Mr. Logical.
Shout out. This is what my question was.
Oh,
that's
go ahead. Go ahead.
Just, okay. It just came
back.
Oh, you
found it. Okay. Okay.
I found my question.
Okay.
Is there another Super Bowl team that had more guys on the team that football fans just wanted to see get a ring than this Philadelphia Eagles team? Just think about all the guys. Think about Devontae Smith. Just think about, like, I saw a picture of him on the ground crying because he lost the state championship in that same arena, you know, in the Caesars Superdome, and then wins the Super Bowl. He caught the final catch of the national championship game from Tua, where Jalen Hurts had gotten benched. You know, granted, that was in Atlanta, but, like, just a guy you really like. A.J. Brown, you know, he pulled out the book, Inner Thoughts. Everybody else, Mekhi Becton, I think Jalen Hurts. I think so many guys, just – Cooper DeJean, I think people really just liked these players, even though we talk about the fan base. The Rams,
you know, that you had Matt Stafford, Odell Beckham.
They had a little success, though. I don't think people really rock with McVay. I don't think people were looking at McVay like, oh my God, I really want McVay to win one. but I think people can look at Saquon.
Maybe like, the Colts the first time around, or was it just a Peyton thing?
It was a Peyton thing, and they kept coming up short. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like these guys were like grinding and putting it together, and some of them were castaways. Cool. But like Philly, just like all the players, I know I'm loading the question.
Maybe
up,
not the like, players, you know, maybe not the players, but I think people were pulling for, cover your ears, you don't want it. People were probably cheering for New Orleans in that Super Bowl, you know, after Katrina and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know if it was like the players, like if like I'm sure they wanted Drew Brees to get a ring.
People were like pulling for the city.
If it went across the team like that.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I was going to bring that up too, Lethal. I was going to bring up the Seahawks, but I don't think that applies here. Because the Seahawks were very polarizing too. You know, like Richard Sherman was real polarizing. Russell Wilson was really unknown at that time.
I think people who...
Maybe
I I think football purists liked it because it was deep. It was such a defensive like onslaught. And I think
I don't think it was individual. Like, I want Cam Chancellor to get a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think people literally were like, I want... I mean, Jeremiah Trotter and Jeremiah Trotter Jr., like 20 years apart. And it's, I mean, it's like stuff like that. I just feel like.
Yeah. No, you might be right.
The Chiefs weren't villains, but I don't see anybody crying over them not winning.
But in that same vein, too, you know, let me tip the hat to Jalen Hurts. You know, like you talk about somebody who's overcome adversity, someone who has been criticized at all ends, going all the way back to college. You mentioned it. You know, he got benched in the national title game. Tua comes in and throws.
And then they interviewed him. Pounds. Yeah.
You know, and then he had to come back
at the end of the game.
And then the next year. He had to come back in when Tua got hurt and win the SEC title game against Georgia.
And then transferred to Oklahoma and did his thing. But like the interview that. I bring up the Jaden Daniels when everybody was around his locker talking about you suck anyway, you suck. Jalen Hurts, when he was getting interviewed after Tua threw the touchdown, he was like, you know, what happened when you got benched? What'd you tell Tua? Like, I told him to go ball. Like, that's what I said. And it was like, how you feel to be a national champion? It was like,
and a lot incredible. Of people didn't believe in him. So a lot of people that were picking Kansas City, I think there were two overarching points. One was Patrick Mahomes, and we've seen him pull the rabbit out the hat. And the second one was people didn't believe Jalen Hurts could do it. You know, like, because a lot of times when analysts are real lazy sometimes, you know, they'll say things like, you can't win a Super Bowl with this guy as your quarterback, as if there isn't.
So many people said that.
Because if you would have thought about this, if you would have thought about that thought, you would have said, the Giants ain't winning no damn Super Bowl with Eli Manning. That's what you would have said. Like, just looking at you during the regular season and –
Baltimore Ravens can't win a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer as your starting quarterback or Joe Flacco. And they just go out there. They make the plays.
The Broncos can't win with old man Peyton.
And they went out. They went to two Super Bowls in that stretch. And a couple AFC championship games. Hey, listen, they saw what they did to Drew Brees. That's a smart move. Shout out to Cam for being, you know, business. He wasn't going to get to that damn ball anyway.
Shout out to Cam for being a winner going into that locker room full of losers, too. But anyway,
I like people said it was a boring Super Bowl. I know we had our conversation about the halftime show and like, you know, you felt about it. It was like once I saw the vitriol reaction to it, I was like, nah, I don't feel like that. I just felt like it just was like, you know, I just wanted a little bit more entertainment. But I understand why people liked it. Like, I saw that it was actually Serena Seawalking. I was like, is that Serena or lookalike? Then I just thought it was actually her.
Shout out to, you know, Radical Jack for calling me insecure because I said that I would have been upset about her still feeling the need to do that to her ex. But, you know, whatever. But
So then I realized how petty it was. So I was like, okay, this dude's the king of petty.
But the other question I wanted to ask you though, is this the end of the road? Is it so hard to say goodbye to the Kansas City Chiefs?
Not at all.
Tell me more.
Not at all.
Tell me more.
Off the rip, without doing any like research, I think about it this way. It's like, I think Chris Jones is getting paid at the upper echelon for his position. I think Mahomes, he signed a, like, it was the deal was like 10 years, 450. I'm pretty sure whatever the capologist they have hired in Kansas City can figure that out. I think Kelsey's getting the middle of the high end.
Number here. I got a number for you. But
I think Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid is still coming back because the cupboard's not bare. They can reload. You know, Mahomes is not going to take the Dak deal. He's not doing 4 years, $60 million per. You know, he's not going to take that deal and hurt the team. If they have to give him, for whatever reason, NFLPA rules, you have to give him a certain amount of money per the collective bargain agreement because of the position he plays. Like, you can't be like, oh, he's going to take $12 million so we can stack around him. And it's like, that just kind of just messed up the whole market for all the other quarterbacks. But if he says, I'll take 50, restructure my deal.
All right, well, Stay there for a second. All right, so this is from ML Football on Twitter, or X, I guess, as we call it nowadays. Yeah. The Chiefs have 63% of their cap wrapped up in five players. So that's Mahomes, Jones, Jawan Taylor, Joe Thuney, and Travis Kelce. So between the five of them, that's $175 million. So I know that this offseason, you know, Justin Reed's a free agent. Our guy, me and your guy, Big Game Bolton, is a free agent. So I don't know if you get to that point because they need a running back. So unless they're going to draft one, I don't know what they're going to do there. So
I think they will go get a guy like Scatabo. I really, like last year, I really thought they should have pushed for Derrick Henry. I thought that could have been a move that they could have made. I think the two offensive linemen, like I said, I don't know the parameters of their deal.
They trade up and get Ashton Jeanty.
I think they can come. I don't think anyone's going to help them.
Buffalo falls to
26.
Buffalo gave him Mahomes and Worthy.
But if he falls to 26, maybe, but people going to know. Like, if you're a GM, you get a phone call, you look at the big board, and Jeanty's still available, and Brett Veach is on the phone, you're like, nah, Kansas City area code, don't answer it. Don't even pick it up. I don't care what they're offering. I figured the two offensive linemen, I don't know what their deals are, but I figured maybe you could wiggle off those. You can probably upgrade there. Like, if you can get out of those deals, you can upgrade there. I think if they have money, like I said, I predicted that T. Higgins' agent would get a phone call, like to see, hey, where is he at? You know, what number is he looking at? Because you can't bring back Chase and Higgins.
Has to get better, right? Like the rest of the AFC has to get better. Like, you know,
well,
like
if you look at the top teams, Buffalo, what can they add?
They can add Davante Adams or someone like that.
I know the rumors out there
for Brett, Green Bay.
Not Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers having the Pittsburgh AI jersey on, or then, you know, maybe Adams goes there. But so Pittsburgh, I don't know how much, I don't know if they can make any real improvements to get them over the Kansas City hump. Baltimore seems to be kind of in their own way. So I don't, they have to have a breakthrough with the players they have on the field. I don't know if they need to add anything. I think they have all the pieces they need. What's that?
Year two of Harbaugh?
Nah, because I don't think Justin Herbert's a playmaker.
Another year of Bo Nix?
Bo Nix. I like what Bo Nix does. Top five defense. Top five defense, but they have to. I don't know if the experience is enough. I don't think they can match wits with the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs. I don't think they can do what Philly. Who's that?
If Tua could keep his head to himself.
Now Miami can't win in January. Like, they can't win when it's less than 40 degrees.
They just got to get home field, right?
the numbers bear out that they can't play in the cold. So
Cincinnati gets some defensive players?
They have three teams in their conference that are in cold parts of the city. So if they don't get the Jets at home in November, or Buffalo at home, or New England at home in November or December, which is not likely, they're going to have to play one of those three teams – if not all three, in a cold weather game. They just can't do it. I don't think Tyreek Hill's attitude is going to lift. Who's that?
Joe Burrow with some defensive backup?
I don't know if they have the money. People keep talking about, like, you know, they had to sell the naming rights to pay Joe Burrow this check. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking $40 million for Ja'Marr Chase minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you franchise him, it's only kicking a can down the road, because if you franchise him, that means you're probably letting T. Higgins go. Whoever mm-hmm. pays T. Higgins is probably going to pay him, if not more, definitely what CeeDee Lamb got. $35 million. What's that?
Yeah, Justin Jefferson's, I think, at 35.
30, and, 37. I think just like 37.5.
He said he wants a penny more.
Yeah, so Ja'Marr Chase is probably looking at 40. So if you franchise him and T. Higgins gets the 35, 36 million.
That's a lot for two receivers.
And now you're paying, and then Cincinnati's have to pay Ja'Marr Chase the average of the top five. The top five is getting over 30-some million. You're still paying him 31, 32.
Cincinnati just got to get my man Yoshi more involved in the passing game. Yoshi coming through. Well, I'm still trying to say his name.
Someone has to get a direct deposit of a lot of money on Tuesdays. And then so Kansas one of those City. Stars. So Kansas City's probably going to be able to vulture away a couple of players.
They'll get Rasheed Rice back.
They'll get Rasheed
Rice back. Oh, no, that's what it was. That's what it was. I think Buffalo was rumored for Hollywood Brown. I think that's what I saw.
Okay, well, I mean,
I don't know why they would want him. That's like listening to Fat Joe.
Yo, Julius Randle, not Fat Joe. You're going to have me getting caught up when I go to the city.
Oh, yeah, you got to move, bro. You got to get out of Jersey.
Listen, I knock Fat Joe all that
Lean stuff. Back, bro. That's it.
Yeah, lean back and hook when I come forward. So I think Kansas City will be fine just because they have the proper core pieces in place. It's just a matter of how much notoriety has increased the monetary value of the team to the point where owners are comfortable with paying X, Y, and Z.
All right, then last thing before we move on. Obviously, worst kept secret in the history of the NFL, Kellen Moore, new head coach of the Saints. What are your thoughts?
I like it. I think Kellen Moore's, I think he's done the path you would want your offensive coordinator to have done before you hire him as a head coach. Couple of years in one system with one group of players, leaves there, goes to another place, has success, can bring in a culture you know is a winning culture, and then now he's a leader. He was a winner in college as a player, just was an undersized quarterback, went to a small school. So I think he understands winning. A lot of these
stars ass in college.
Yeah, a lot of these coaches I think are just kind of hired based off relationships, which are important. Like I said, 80% of your job is your ability to work with other people. So I think guys like Cohen and, you know, like some of these other guys that got hired in these, some of these different jobs, they came in, I think they're ill prepared. Whereas I think Kellen Moore being in Dallas, dealing with that, I don't know what the meetings are like in Dallas. I don't know what the stress is like in Dallas, but I imagine that it had to be enough for him to want to go to Philly and coach there.
You think he can steal some Eagles? Because, you know, you got Zach Bond as a free agent. I doubt Philly will let him go.
I thought they just signed Zach Bond. You know, they just got him in free agency.
I thought I read that he was a free agent today.
They got him in free agency.
Maybe that's what I heard. But you got Milton Williams, Mekhi Becton. You know, you got Josh Sweat as a free agent. And
You'll be able to squeeze a few offensive players. You'll be able to squeeze a few players that he had close contact with on a daily basis.
And just for the record, Zach Bond signed a 1-year deal, so he is a free agent.
Wow.
Yeah. It was one year, 3.5.
Yeah, it's about to be 3
It's about
years,
to be like 4 years, 35.
6.5.
But yeah, so you know,
he probably walked in with the ball that he intercepted with his new contract terms on it, right, and handed it to Howie on the podium. Like, yeah, look at it closely though. Look at it closely. Yeah. See the commas?
maybe he'll grab Gainwell or something for.
Yeah, I think what he'll get guys that he had meetings with, unless he can pull defensive assistants or coaches or even Fangio himself.
Well, it sounds like Brandon Staley is the lead candidate for the defensive coordinator position.
I wouldn't want a guy who used to be a head coach.
And then you got what, like, this is Jalen Hurts now, third straight year with a new offensive coordinator in the with the Eagles, but like we
eight straight
it's
year,
longer than
straight
that.
Year
yeah,
overall,
we saw
yeah.
that 8 straight years or something. Ever since his second year in college, he's had a new offensive coordinator every single year. So yeah, another, like I said, he just overcomes adversity and he's a winner. He's a winner.
Yeah, and that's I was telling one of I was telling the Eagles fan last week at work. It's like, yeah, you may want your quarterback to drop back and make the Josh Allen deep post throw on time and everything else. But you also want your quarterback to see the blitz coming and take off. Like Jalen Hurts, and he was sliding.
And smart, you know what?
Protecting himself.
And I know a couple of years ago, Spencer Rattler was all the rage. So, you know, maybe Kellen Moore has a toy to play with. Pause.
Nah, you can go ahead and book that bet that they're gonna move heaven and earth to get a better quarterback.
All right, well, we'll see. But Mr. Logical, you know, as we dance across the association, you know, sure. I saw that one LeBron James is very, very upset that Rob Pelinka was willing to move these picks. You know, they used one to get Luka, and then they were going to use another one to get, well, we'll get to Mark Williams in a second, but they were going to use another one in some other trades. And LeBron's like, hold up, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. So y'all are willing to deal these picks? What say you?
Well, I'll play devil's advocate. It's all allegedly. If I'm the Lakers organization, and I got the phone call that Luka's available at 25, I'm thinking I need to compete for popularity is locked in, but I need my quality to be on par with my popularity in this city, because it is a city of many spectacles. Everything that goes on from an entertainment perspective, from sports, college sports, football, MLB, they're winning World Series. You're probably not going to win a championship, because if you look at the other teams that are constructed, probably not constructed the same way. But if you can get a 25-year-old Luka in, that locks me in for, we figure his prime started a couple years ago when they were like making the Western Conference Finals run. Mm-hmm. And he just stays at that level for 4 more years. I have 2025 up to 2029, 2030 of prime TV rights, Laker purple and gold. So yeah, I'm moving these picks. For LeBron 2 years ago, it's like, I would be moving these picks for him to potentially be like, I'm 40. You drafted my son. I appreciate that, but I'm done. So that's the difference. So if he was upset, allegedly, I don't know. But it's like, he probably has to look at it like, if he expects to play until he's 42 years old, I don't think the team thought that two and a half years ago when they wanted Kyrie, when he wanted this guy he thought was available, when he wanted them to get Paul George, whoever he wanted them to go get with those picks. I don't think the organization is thinking like, if we give up these 2029, like 27, 29, maybe 31, it's like, this guy's going to be done in 2024. Like, that's what I'm thinking. 2022, when I'm looking at LeBron, I'm like, he broke the record 2022 or something like that, that season. And then so it's like, I'm not thinking this guy's playing into 2026 opening night. So why am I going to trade my 2027 pieces to try to compete now?
When, well, see, and that's the problem.
You need so much.
And I think that's the problem, if this is true. I think that's the problem, is that it's all about me, me, me a lot of these times. It may not be in this particular situation, because like we said, if it's true, but most of the time, players obviously don't think of the long-term consequences of short-term decisions. So, you know, like you mentioned, go out and get Paul George. That was a name he wanted. They went out and got Russell Westbrook at one point.
I don't, like I said, I'm just, I don't know.
If, no, no, I know.
Whatever, whatever name he wanted to get with those picks.
But I'm just saying, like, so whoever you were going to get that he might approve of, you know, by the time he retires, you probably got to move that person too. Because if, depending on the outlook, who's free agents that year, all that kind of stuff, who's willing to wheel and deal, you may be stuck with that person. Because I've always thought of it as, if LeBron retires in 2025, but next year, well, so I guess 2026, then Anthony Davis would be out the door right behind him before this trade happened. So I'm gonna give up my picks to get you help. And then what do I do when you're gone?
Yeah, and like I said, I think from LeBron's perspective, not really playing devil's advocate, but just if he is really dead set on like, yo, I know my body, I know my brain, I know my dedication. Because that's one of the things a lot of retired players, I love the fact a lot of these retired players are having podcasts, they're going on their friends' podcasts, and they're talking to TV and they're talking candidly. And a lot of them are saying, you know, from even the old heads like Mark Schlereth and Howie Long, these other guys, like, if you don't have the injuries that basically end your career, you have this thing where you're sitting in your house, or you're sitting in your car, you're sitting in the facility, and your last game, your shoulder pads are off, and you say to yourself, all right, I'm going to get ready for next year. And then you take whatever normal time you take off to get ready. And then when that time elapses and you don't feel like getting up and doing it to get ready for next year, like every one, so many players have said, I knew I was done when I knew I did not want to get up and go work out and do my off-season training regimen. So I was like, I'm done. Tom Brady retired and then unretired because he was like, his brain and his mind and his body were like, yo, I can still do this. I think LeBron is looking like, yo, I feel like I can do this season at a high level. Right now they're 32-19. I don't know if they're playing right now, but after last night, they're 32-19.
I think they're off tonight.
And he's thinking like, okay, I'm going to be here for opening night 2025. And potentially open in night 2026. Because if you think about Bryce is going to college for 1 year in 2025, maybe he wants to be in the league with both of his sons in the league. Maybe that goal and having like two sons and like, you know, little girl, his daughter's never going to grow up being in the NBA. So he's like, I got two sons. I'm this close. If I keep my body and my mind right, maybe I'm in the league 2026. There's no way Rob Pelinka's banking on Bronny and Bryce's success in college as a catalyst to keep LeBron. So, like, you wouldn't move those picks.
Right. So, and also, you know, real quick while we're at it, I just want everybody to know, if you're out there keeping count, Kevin Durant is now 15 points away from 30,000 career points. You know, we're in the second quarter, down 13 to Memphis. So, with that being said, Dalton Connect. You know, okay. there was the trade that happened but didn't happen. You know, him going to the Hornets for Mark Williams, some other pieces, but, you know, that's the gist of the trade. Allegedly, the Lakers didn't like what they saw in Mark Williams' physical. I'm assuming by hearing that, maybe we're talking ligaments, maybe we're talking tendons versus soft tissue injuries.
Like a lack of probably some bone on bone and a major, like a bone on bone in his knee.
Yeah, because we talked about it.
Less ACL than you need for a 7-footer.
He's played 85 games in his career and missed 127. You know, so that's a good one, Cups. I want to hear about that. You know what I'm saying? But you know, but from that standpoint, now that the trade has been rescinded, Charlotte has put out a statement saying, we're so happy to have Mark Williams back. And then J.J. Redick said that Dalton Connect told him that he needs time to process before he takes the court again. What do you think about that? Because when I first heard it, you know me, when I heard it, my ears went, what did he just say? But, you know, what you think about that?
All right. So mental health and happiness and peace are important. They're important to people, and a sense of belonging is a catalyst to your mental health. Mm-hmm. Don't connect. A transfer guy had to grind around college basketball before he got to Tennessee and was able to put up points and then gets drafted after essentially 16 teams passed on him. So he got, you know, I'm on the Lakers. This is going well. I'm getting plays called for me. And then, you know, JJ's cussing him out because he's not running the plays right. So he's really on him. And maybe that's all new. And then in this wave of you kind of getting your ass chewed all the time, then you get traded. So it's like you don't even get to redeem yourself, and now they send you back. So it's like a kid that gets picked up from a foster home, goes to the family, and the family's like, actually, we only have 5 seatbelts in the car. We can't keep you. You got to go back to this orphanage. And it's like,
right.
I felt a sense of belonging here, but I was glad to leave, but now you're sending me back. So I could see him processing it. The thing that I always say is like winning cures all. Now, if you're a Dalton Connect and you have, which still doesn't make any sense to me, I'm not going to try to make any sense of it. I'm just going to just keep riding it out like it's a real life thing. It's not NBA 2K. But seeing Luka and LeBron on the same team passing the ball to each other doesn't make any sense. But if I'm Dalton Connect, it's like I'm going to be open a lot if I'm on the floor. Because if you're on the floor with Austin Reeves, he's a mid-range guy, driving kick guy. He runs the offense well. You're going to get open shots.
Scored 45 the other day without LeBron. So,
and he's feeling confident. So that means maybe if he's running the second unit more and you're getting Luke and LeBron some rest, or, you know, so as Austin Reeves gets more confident, now you're on a second unit with him. He's getting the blitz coverage where they're trying to trap the ball, get out of his hand. You're coming off of pin downs, getting wide open looks. So I imagine if they work it into like practice where it's like, okay, listen, you're going to be this package. Like you're going to be my guy that comes off and I'm going to get you as many open looks as we can. We're calling Dalton Connect motion, Dalton Connect 50. We're calling Iowa Connect, whatever it is, we'll get you ISO shots. We'll get you as many shots as you can. And then when you run it with Luka, just be prepared to catch the ball. So I think because he's going back to a good team and great players, the processing might be expedited. But for Mark Williams going back to Charlotte, that's going to be tough. Because
and you remember like, a couple of weeks ago,
he wasn't even putting a lot of effort in.
Right. And you remember a couple of weeks ago, I brought up how I was probably going to be the only person that wondered, hey, like LaMelo Ball, Mark Williams, Brandon Miller, what could have been? You know what I mean? I might get an answer now in 3 years when they all finally play a full season. But, you know, as I look at the Lakers and I look at Dalton Connect.
You mean together? Yeah, it's a wrap. Mark Williams is probably going to be out.
Well, that's what I was about to say about Dalton Connect. So depending on how you play this, because, of course, you know, his dad was a college basketball player. So I would imagine that he's been leaning on his dad a little bit, you know, like, hey, how would you handle this? You know, have you ever seen anything like all that kind of stuff?
He needs some OGs. Don't talk to your friends, Dalton. Don't talk to anybody with gray hair. If you talk to anybody with gray hair over the age of 40. Dalton,
you know, but as I think about this more and more, I get a little sad because I see the parents of today and how I don't want to say they baby the kids, but you know, the basketball or the sports parents are extra, you know, but luckily we haven't heard much about his father yet, but I think that,
he wasn't highly touted. Cause you know, sometimes people like live vicariously through their kids. Like,
right.
I'm 43. My youngest son is about to be 16. So his rise to athleticism right now is like, you know, oh, I'm thinking about the future, what could be. And it's like, if he has to go to JUCO and grind or Division III and grind, or if he gets to Division I, that's still him doing his thing. And I'm going to advise him from the wisdom piece. Not like, yo, you got to do it for me. I am 5'8" and a half. I never had a hoop dream. Well, I like watching you play. So hopefully he talks to people who didn't have their own hoop dream and they're living vicariously through him.
Well, I think that if I'm his like, father, I think if I'm his father, I say, look, son, I say most of what you said. You know, you got two all-time great players out here that is going to make your life easier than you could have ever imagined. Go out there. You're going to make the playoffs. Show out. Now, when May comes and y'all just got swept, now you think about this and say, reflect on this season. What did I get out of it? How do I feel in this moment? If you're still raw and you feel a certain way, now that might be the time to go say, hey, look, guys, like, it's been great. Y'all welcome me back, so on and so forth, but I think I got to go. And then you behind the scenes, though.
But you also have to understand there's only going to be certain points in your life where you are in the proverbial catbird seat where you can operate your leverage. The Lakers need him to hit those shots because Rui is a streaky shooter, whereas Dalton is a pure shooter and scorer.
Right, right.
And as you have two guys that you know are highly and you use the ball highly, you have a guy, you know, Luka coming in who high usage rates throughout his career, but he's trying to incorporate himself in a new offense. This is where you can step up and be the guy that, you know, if they're running a triangle, whatever kind of set,
you could be the glue.
You could be that guy. You could be the scrappy guy. Like, for instance, like, you know, I talk about myself. He plays JV basketball. He's a sophomore, but then he's starting to get varsity runs. A couple of the coaches are football coaches. So he was like, and he's getting more varsity runs over the last like 5 or 6 games. And he said they came to him and was like, yo, we just feel like you're not as intense on the basketball court as you are on the football field. He was like, yo, y'all keep telling the team we need to be scrappy and fight for rebounds and do the little things. He's like, I do all of that, but when we need it on the court, you guys will put me out there. Put me out there. Like, listen, I got 5 fouls. I'm going to use them all. He's like, that's what I tell you. He's like, that's what I tell the coach. Like, I got 5 fouls. I can use them all. So if it's a big that's moving kind of big, yo, let me play him as much as I can. He's a linebacker, safety, runner. Like, he's a big body. He's like, yo, I can match up with any of these dudes that you have out there on the floor. And let me follow him a few times if necessary. I'm going to follow him hard once. You know, let me out there. So they started letting him get more run because it's just a matter of, like, you got to just kind of wait your turn. Dalton Connect, if I'm just possible, I'm like, yo, you're going to get your turn because you have an aging superstar and you have a superstar that they need to groom and get ready for the playoffs. The aging superstar is going to take the break and you're going to get LeBron's, not LeBron's minutes, but instead of Luka and LeBron being out there, it's like, listen, we got to get Luka to understand the offense. So Dalton and Luka are going to be on the floor. And like, that's a double team on him off the rip, and he's looking to pass the ball.
So on the other side of the trade, you know, man, if I was 6'8", I swear the Mavericks would be calling me right now. You know what I mean? Like, you got Dwight Powell out. You know, you had Derek Lively out already. Anthony Davis is out a few weeks with this conductor issue. Conductor. And then you got
Gafford
goes down last night with a knee sprain and has to be reevaluated in a couple of weeks. So on top of that, if that's not already bad enough, you got the fans out here protesting. They're dragging caskets around. You know, three fans got ejected from last night's game against Sacramento, including one that got ejected for mouthing the words "Fire Nico."
Fire Nico.
And he was caught on the Jumbotron.
It's free speech.
Free speech. You know,
I thought Texas liked free speech. I thought they were all about the government. They were red state and yada yada.
You know, that guy ain't a. I don't think that guy is. I don't think Dumont, the owner, I don't think he's a Texan guy. You know, like, I think that I know his family is a casino family.
And here's the alleged rumor that they're trying to move to Vegas. They're trying to move to Vegas, and they need the team to suck.
So So let me ask you a question, man. And I know
I don't know how much I believe into that, but I do know one thing. I know like, Vegas. I know Vegas, and I know Vegas is appealing and Vegas is money. And if you are a millionaire, billionaire with connections in Vegas, or if you have $1 million idea, or you have $1 million business sense, if you can launch it in Vegas, it will last because everybody wants a part of it, because Vegas is this and there's nothing but space around it. So if they can get solar panels and electricity to this building, or they can figure out how to get water from the Hoover Dam to this, like if they can figure out the infrastructure, it's going to keep expanding. They have the hockey team, the basketball team.
Not for sure, because I've heard stuff about 2050. But we'll see. We'll get there. But
not making it to 2050.
Speech is only free when you're saying what the masses want to hear, you know. But when it comes to the Dallas Mavericks, though, is it time for them to just shut it down? Because like Kyrie Irving already has this back disc issue going on that's been bothering him for some time. That could probably get re-aggravated at any time. So is Dallas potentially looking at the lottery here?
I think Dallas will have to. If you have four guys that you expected to be your core playoff contributors, and we are in, so we're February 11th.
Mm-hmm.
If three or four of these guys are 2 to 3 or 3 to 4 weeks out, or 2 weeks out with reevaluations,
that gets you to All-Star break coming up.
All-Star break gets coming up. That gets you to early mid-March. If two of those four guys aren't coming back fully healthy, like two guys are like good to go. Like AD's good to go in 3 weeks. And, you know, he said Lively's good to go in 3 weeks. You know, just say March 1st. Both of those guys are good to go. Like, hey, they got their time. They're good to go. If the other two guys aren't going to be ready, then the records aren't. That's right, though. That's a good one. Good one, Cubs. The record's going to dictate you shutting it down. I don't think you deliberately shut it down because you have the talent. And if it's healthy,
so right now,
the guys are available, then you play them. But I think if you don't have everybody available, your record's going to be too low.
So right now they're 28-26. You know, with the play-in, 10 teams make the playoffs.
So that's 54 games. There are half 28 games left.
They're a half game out of the 10th spot right now. Like, they're in eighth right now, but they're a half game in front of the 10th spot, I should say. Okay. So – and, you know, they just lost to Sacramento last night, who's right behind them at a half game back. The Warriors are a half game back. You got the Suns a game back.
And those Spurs, guys are healthy. Their stars are healthy and available. And
yeah, the Spurs are creeping up on you. They're three games back, three and a half of you now.
And so, they brought a star in that fits perfectly with their big man to match up with their old head and a young. So the Spurs have
Dallas
enough.
Might not to have to tank. People might just catch them.
Yes, I'm saying your record's going to dictate. So at 28-24, that's 28-26. So it's 54 games. So I guess them 28 games left.
Yes.
You figure the Western Conference last year, at the top of our head, 45 wins is probably seven. Like the 2024 standings, 45-37 was probably 6th or 7th.
Last year, Dallas was the 5 seed, and they were at 50 wins.
50 wins.
The 6th seed had 49. The 10th seed had 46.
Yeah. So if you're not going 17-11 in these next – well, yeah, 20.
Yeah, 28 games.
17-11 in the next 28 games. That's best case scenario. You're 45. You're probably 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
If you go 500, which is probably unlikely with the amount of star power you have that's going to be missing time, the likelihood of you going 14-14 is limited. So your record's going to shut you down. Your record's going to be a certain point to where AD, I'm not saying inevitably, but it's like.
I wonder if AD is going to need surgery and we just haven't got there yet.
Well, I remember the 2020, was it 2021 playoffs when they were playing Phoenix?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 20, yeah. and he had the groin. He missed a couple games, and then he started. And then that early possession when he went to go defend somebody at the rim and just basically just jumped right out of bounds. It was like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I've never been fast enough to pull a hamstring or pull a groin, knock on wood. But I imagine that you don't know it's healed until you try to stress it. And they don't have enough time for him to rest, then put some stress on it, then see if it's good, then come back and put real game time stress on it, and then it not work out, and then he has to go. Like, they still have enough time.
Right. But, you know, so I don't know. I mean, if you believe in karma, then you probably believe that some of this stuff going on in Dallas is karma. And I'm sure, what, in 5 years when they're not winning anything – it'll be the new curse of the Bambino. It'll be the curse of Luka.
It's going to be the curse mainly because the reports that we got after it came out, the truth is starting to come out because allegedly they called and wanted Anthony Edwards from Minnesota, or they wanted Giannis, or Milwaukee was like,
last week too.
Milwaukee answered the phone and was like, okay, Dallas area code, check it out. Just don't even say Giannis.
I don't know. Dallas, Milwaukee should have took it.
Absolutely not.
Milwaukee should have took it.
Absolutely not.
Why? Giannis ain't going to be there in 2 years.
Giannis is going to stay because Giannis, I think Giannis likes being in Milwaukee.
Once they lose in the first round this year, you know what I'm saying? He ain't staying.
No, the coaches will go.
Yeah, he going to go too. He done already said, you know, how many times has he said, hey, I want to win a championship, whether that's in Milwaukee or not. You know, they didn't let Middleton go.
I mean, you know, where would he? I mean, like I
actually, now that you've asked me that, you know what I'm saying? If you go look at the cap space, there's a town right near you that has already made it known that they're coming for Giannis.
Philly?
No, the other one. the one that wears the colors that you're wearing right now.
Oh, Brooklyn?
Yeah. They got all the cap space.
I personally go to Barclays and I slap Giannis in his face if he decided to go to Brooklyn. I slap him right in his face. Like, are you kidding me? They had Kevin Durant,
if you ask Kyrie Irving, he already slapped
and Giannis. James Harden on their team. At one point, they had Darren Williams, KG, and Paul Pierce. They've been sold two or three times. They are a poor organization in a dope-ass city. That's it. You're just going to get good-ass food, good beer, great views of Manhattan. You're going to get great culture in Brooklyn from the hood to the hipsters. But other than that, it is not a good basketball move. Brooklyn needs to be going young and building around turning the guy into a superstar. I mean, hell, they got like four first-round picks from the Knicks, from Mikal Bridges. They need to be thinking like, because you know, when you're Brooklyn, you're Brooklyn. You're New York. Granted, you're the Clippers to the Lakers, but you're still in New York. You're still in this East Coast block. It's Brooklyn. It's it just flows off the tongue. You have all these pieces. Turn one of these young guys into your superstar. Let that guy play the way Giannis plays. Let that guy play the way Dame plays and like have people rally around him. You're muted.
You know how much cap space Brooklyn has?
I mean, I don't think they're paying anybody. I imagine a lot.
They got 91 smackaroos. And the next closest team, 24.6. They getting somebody. So you can entice Giannis. You know, you just got to get the first star.
I would be trying to entice Anthony Edwards. I know, like, the big rookie extension is probably, like, but that makes sense to me because he's a young guy.
But also,
who doesn't want to win now, but doesn't have to win now because he's 23, 24.
You just said, or we just brought up, Minnesota almost, you know, what they were talking to Kevin Durant. And I know Anthony Edwards is Kevin Durant. You know, he looks up to Kevin Durant, I guess, but I'm just saying.
I'm just thinking about, I would go, if I'm Brooklyn, if I can't, like, remember Mikal Bridges had that run last year where he was like, they were like, yo, this is what happens. You let a guy get his shots. And same thing with, like, what's the boy name? No, shoot, left-handed, wearing a Kobe, scoring all the points. We wouldn't play any defense. They wouldn't bench him.
Cam Thomas.
Wouldn't camp. Cam Thomas, right?
Yeah.
So you lock in with the coach, you lock in with the GM, and you take the players you have and the leverage you have to try to build your team. Don't we've already seen it not work. Like, we can go back, LeBron going to Miami, KD going to Golden State. I believe that's the last time a superstar 27, 28, 29 in that age range goes to a team and they become automatic contenders. I don't think it's worked since. Boston was homegrown. Denver was homegrown. Milwaukee, they were homegrown for the most part. Granted, you got to make some support moves. Mm-hmm. Memphis's turnaround is because they got Ja. Like, they're, you know, the first or second. You know, they're second or third in the West when he's healthy. When they weren't really, like, they weren't perennial top three in the West teams, but you get the right guy in there, and it works out.
Right.
But we haven't seen the big free agent move, and like I said, since Kevin Durant. Because even when Kevin Durant, everybody went to Brooklyn, it didn't work.
So this is one of those sports reports as owner – as ordered moments where only we talk about the Brooklyn Nets, but looking at some free agents,
like it's intriguing because I think we talked about Houston a lot. Houston has the young core guys that look completely different than the old dudes that they paid. It's like,
right,
they don't match what you can do with these young guys. Detroit has young guys and then older support guys. You saw Tobias Harris going off against Philly last week. Like, oh, word, Sag gonna treat me. And then, you know, guys like Tim Hardaway Jr. in support roles for the young guys. Houston went and paid 5'9" Van Fleet and then, you know, brick-footed Dylan Brooks who can't guard anyone.
But look, you're Brooklyn, right? You know, I mean, you ain't getting LeBron, right?
Well, hell, I mean, I didn't think Lakers would get Luka, so who knows? Who fucking knows?
You know, said I would imagine that Kyrie's not going back to Brooklyn.
I imagine that that relationship is probably, you know, that ship has sailed and sank.
So what? You got Fred VanVleet. You know.
So this is, what's this? It's sorted by like previous pay. Okay.
Yeah, scroll I'm trying down. To get rid of this.
There no, we go. That, no, that's fine. Yeah, so it's sorted by previous pay.
Yeah. Oh, there's your guy.
It's not a dude on this list I want.
There's your guy.
If I'm Brooklyn, it's not a guy on this list that I want.
Okay, so keeping with that thought, NBA draft, they'll have a high pick, right? What about the year after? There's a guy right here. You see that, Cups?
I'd take the guy under.
Well, you know Lakers locking him up.
Yeah, but that's once again, if I'm Brooklyn, I'm not making
any free agent moves. Same guy. Yeah.
I'm not making any free agent moves.
Well, like I was saying, like so you're looking at this, you don't want Bradley Beal.
Don't want Bradley Beal.
You know, you don't want Dame because he'll be, you know, 37 by then. You know, LaVine.
Is that their age? Scroll up. Is that their age?
Yeah. Then you got LaVine, Trey Young, DeAndre Ayton maybe, De'Aaron Fox, depending on how things go in San Antonio.
28-year-old De'Aaron Fox in 2 years.
Yep. And then... You know, Porzingis will be 2 years older, so you might not – Hartenstein maybe, and then it gets real bare. Jaren Jackson, that could be a good pickup. Anthony Simons, you know, so there's guys. I mean, it's just, but I don't think there's anybody.
I don't think there's anybody on this list that you can't develop that's not currently on your roster, because their cup, like I said, their cup isn't bare. That's what I mean. Like, so with Brooklyn, they have guys. They just got to get out of this mindset that they need to land a big name. I'm like, you have a big name on the front. It's Brooklyn. Well, ride out the Brooklyn.
So as you look at this, so Ben Simmons, we'll talk about him in a second too. So let's see, you got Dariq Whitehead in year two or three. You got D'Lo. They're trying to trade Cam Johnson.
That's a bad move, in my opinion.
You know, you got Reese Beekman, Zaire Williams. They don't got nothing that you want to hold on to. Maybe you want to hold on to Nick Claxton. There's your guy, Cam Thomas, but obviously he's in the doghouse usually. I think he's hurt right now. They don't have anything that you're tied to. Like, they just drafted Whitehead 2 years ago. So maybe you want to keep him and see what he can develop into, but
they don't have any star power, but you got to position yourself either in the draft to get maybe Harper out of Rutgers. I don't know what you have to do there. I don't know if you have to, like, tank or what do you have to do. I would draft the guy and have him be the guy and then get role players around him, or just develop these guys into role players.
Yeah, maybe you can get an Ace Bailey. Coach.
Yeah, you know, get a coach that can handle, you know, a young team that can be creative. This would be the kind of team where a guy like J.J. Redick should have, like, been a head coach of.
Yeah.
Someone is, like, well, right kind of teaching the fundamentals and stuff like that.
Right now, their head coach is Jordy Fernandez. So, young guy, you know, international guy. So, you know, hopefully he doesn't end up like David Blatt.
Look into the international market. See if you can get, you know, one of these EuroLeague MVPs. A guy who, you know, like, there's basketball talent everywhere. It's not just these top eight free agent stars who are all turning 30 or 35 in the next couple of years. It's like, there's more good basketball players besides James Harden. The fact that Philly gave Paul George the money that they gave him is like, why? You gave him that money, even all healthy, is like, what is your ceiling with that versus your debt?
Well, you know, I mean, all you gotta do is look at who Philly GM is, and that'll answer your question.
So it's just and I get it, like, it's tough, but you have four first round picks. Maybe you can make a trade and get
Giannis.
Nah, I don't think Giannis helps himself by going to Brooklyn, and I think it doesn't help Brooklyn because he's not going to want to stay there.
Why not?
Because it won't be successful.
I think that's to be determined. I mean, so look, I get it, right? Go on. The past is a good indicator on what the future may hold, right? I get it. Absolutely get it. You know, but like with all those draft picks, you know, you can get players. Like, you can get somebody.
Yeah, but the somebody you need to get needs to fit what your expectations are. You can't bring in, and I think that's where they came up short with the Durant and Kyrie.
Because of injuries.
No.
They were going to the finals that year.
Before that, I think Durant, Kyrie, and the guys who had a pretty decent playoff run the year before, if they never, they were like, listen, we get you guys one James Harden, but KD, you're just coming off an Achilles. Kyrie played last year. Let's get you guys going. Let's get these support guys in. You two are unguardable. KD, you both bring championship rings here. You both play with legends. You guys are icons in the sport. Let's keep the two of you and then see what we could do, because the big three was fading. After Durant left Golden State, it was like there was no more. It was like a lot of twos. It was twos everywhere. And I think they wanted to be the only team with three, and they gave up all their support. So that's why the injuries hurt, because you gave up so many guys. So when James Harden didn't play a game, it was basically like not having five guys available because of all the guys you gave up.
Right.
So that's the part that would, you know, give me a pause. Maybe if I was a GM, I might be too cautious and I might not keep my job long. But I'm definitely like, listen, I'm trying to keep the theme of what we do here. Well, like, you know, I work in a fighter squadron. We can't get a bunch of fighter pilots. I work in a flying squadron that fly heavies. These guys may be great F-16 and F-35 pilots, but they're not KC-46 pilots. Right. I don't want to be like, you know what? Hey, I'm going to call Langley and be like, yo, how many F-15 pilots y'all willing to send to McGuire? I'm like, that won't do me any good. I can train them up, but that's going to take a while. It's going to take a year.
Well, like I said, I don't know, because like you said, you know, with Luka going to the Lakers, anything is possible.
Like, does Brooklyn really call LeBron and say, listen, man, we'll take you, Bronny, and Bryce open in 2026? Maybe.
Why not? I mean, if nothing else, that at least
if they're only selling 11,000 seats a night or something like that, I'd imagine that's what I'm doing saying.
That'll get asses in seat. You know what I mean? And you may draw somebody else that, you know, want to play with LeBron during his farewell tour or something. You know, why not? I mean,
some guys in off retirement, like Melo's, like, yo, I can lace him up for 12 games.
Yeah, you miss all the shots you don't take. So, you know what I mean? You got picks. You know what I mean? Between you, OKC, and Utah, you probably control like 20% of the picks in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
So, why not make it work for you, is all I'm saying. You know, it might not work out, but, you know, it'll be fun and entertaining if nothing else.
Yeah. Like with that, I make a call to OKC for Chet Holmgren. A young guy, played in the league. A couple of injuries. Yeah, he fell on his hip. Like, his injury, he, like, fell down. Like,
hey, that you know what Brooklyn will do? I just thought about it. You know what Brooklyn will do? In true Brooklyn fashion, they'll go get Zion.
I mean, if you could get him for a steal.
I mean, Brandon Ingram just went to Toronto in a trade, and what, they just extended him for $40 million a year?
Yo, I saw Brandon Ingram, literally, they saw his jersey on the chair. He was like, yo, I never thought this would happen. I'm like, what? They got 16 wins. What are you talking about?
No, they just gave.
But yeah, like that, like, okay, Brooklyn Zion. That's crazy, but it doesn't come with him showing up with championship expectations and demanding that you make other moves. Whereas Giannis, mm-hmm. like, listen, man, you need to move all these pieces and go get me Kawhi Leonard.
And Earth.
Yeah, go get me Kawhi Leonard and Van Fleet from Houston so we could be the new big three. Like, you're going to have to do it because you probably gave up whatever assets, you're giving up whatever money to Giannis if you're Brooklyn. And he's going to be like, well, I want to win right now, so.
Or maybe you position yourself, because and this is the last thing. You say this all the time, right? Houston got all this shit. Maybe you call Houston. What's up with Jalen Green? You already tried to trade for him last year.
I'd make the Jalen Green call before I make the Giannis call.
Maybe you try to get on in.
I would go Jalen Green because he's box office. He's a New York kind of box office player. He's like a LaMelo Ball, like that young, explosive, playing to the crowd, the hair, like just the kind of embodying the hip hop, the basketball culture bridge. I like that move because, once again, it's strictly just to get asses in seats and have a star to build around. And you're doing it simultaneously. Bringing in Giannis, you'll deplete your team, and your team will look like some team that you won't recognize in 7 months, and then everyone's going to leave.
Did you? Because they're going to get fired. Did you have the same reaction that I had to Ben Simmons to the Clippers?
I told you he shouldn't be signed to any team. I don't know. I don't know what you think you're going to get out of Ben Simmons.
Yeah, my reaction was I fell out of my seat laughing.
Like, I thought it was fake AI. I didn't think it was real. Like, I think somebody sent it to the group. I put the laughing emoji on it.
I guess you just hope on that team, you just say, hey, maybe he was loafing around Brooklyn because they were headed nowhere fast.
If he's 6'4", he's not even in the league.
Damn.
Like, he does nothing for your team. And I'm not trying to bash him, but it's like, he has such an advantage defensively, offensively, coming downhill.
He takes the ball out of Harden's hands a little bit, right?
That's if he wants. That's if he wants it. What he was doing his early years in Philly, when he won Rookie of the Year and the subsequent years after that, is like that. Ben Simmons. Okay, you could take that. You know, what I mean, it was 8 days out of the week. But this current one is like, what? How are you the same human?
Right.
And you've given your fall off is this substantial without a real documented injury. It's just him saying his back. That's it. But no one was like, oh, he had a surgery on this. He had, you know, they fused some disc. Like, I haven't heard a single surgical story. Like, hey, Brandon Roy had bone on bone with his knees and that ended his career. It's like that was Greg Oden. Knees were just bad, you know, like couldn't get repaired. ACL's going peace. You know, Ben Simmons has been like, oh, it's back. Damaging his back, but there's never seen, I never heard a report of the repair, but yet he's on someone's roster starting for a few games, and then all of a sudden is back.
All right, and then you got 11 minutes left in the third quarter, just coming out of halftime. Kevin Durant needs 7 points to join the 30,000-point club. So
we did the math earlier.
Yeah, we did the math. Real quick. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Do your
thing. So we did the math earlier. Durant's missed 349 games in his career, whether resting or injuries, what have you. But for shits and gigs, say he played most of those games, you know, he would be at like 39,000 points right now. He'd be second behind LeBron if he was playing, because LeBron played pretty much all of his games until he got to L.A. Right. L.A. is when he started playing 55 games, 60 games, 45 games, injuries, stuff like that. But for the Cleveland, Miami, Cleveland years, LeBron was playing 70-plus on average. Mm-hmm. So Durant would be second all-time in scoring to the point where LeBron would have to play like two more years to really have a cushion to where – he can, you know, say,
hoping that he injures himself.
Hoping that Durant also retires before he breaks his record. But like that's how prolific of a scorer Kevin Durant is. So him getting the 30,000 points, he's gonna pass. We said we had him passing Wilt this season.
No, next season.
Next season around Christmas.
Yeah.
Around Christmas.
Yeah, he's about 1,400 towards the end of next year. Yeah, a little over 1,400 points behind Wilt. So he'll probably pass
Kobe and Jordan.
Yeah, he'll probably pass Dirk next year by the end of the season as well, because Dirk's not that far in front of Wilt. So then it'll just be, you know, MJ in front of him. That'll be interesting to see Kevin Durant pass Jordan.
That's MJ, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, hey, he is the one and only world-renowned Mr. Logical. And all he asks of you is that you don't bring feelings to a fact fight.
Don't do it.
You know what I'm saying? I am your unorthodox statistician. Go by the name of 2-5. I believe in Joe Hendry. We will be back on Friday. Like, review, subscribe, share, rate, do all the free things. Do all the good things. And we love you. Peace.